response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
And every Saturday morning, we help you keep it running. Actually, the help comes from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Morning, Dan. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And it was kind of a fresh morning. You were a few more layers this morning than you had last week.
I had short sleeves on last week. Yeah. That was overkill for sure. It was not warm enough for that.
Exactly.
But it's chilly again this morning. The wind is pretty brisk.
It is. 31 is the temp. Nice of you to join us. Dan has helped us out for, I think we keep saying it's around 25 years or so here on CCO, helping you out before you find the need to take your vehicle in. If you're experiencing a problem with your vehicle and you're going to take it into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, at least you'll be armed with a little more information than you did not have before, possibly. So call in or text in your car care questions for Dan this morning. Let me give you the number if you're new to the show. Thanks for joining us, by the way. 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. 81807. Well, obviously the season has changed. I mean, we're officially spring now. How have things changed at Lloyd's? Are you doing things differently than, you know, like snow tires or something?
Yeah, taking snow tires off instead of putting snow tires on.
I bet.
And the business is starting to trend that way. People are getting tuned up for spring trips that they're taking.
Sure.
And yes, people are starting to take their snow tires off, and looking at the forecast, that might be a good idea. It might be time for that.
Maybe, but on the other hand, we don't want to jinx it.
Well,
remember last April,
I was with a friend last night, and he, our neighbor, and he gave me a picture of our front yards, April 15th or something.
I bet,
and there was 2 feet of snow.
Sure,
I mean it was unbelievable. So. Yeah, no, I know. I'm not giving up on it yet. But
yeah, my snow thrower is still in the garage.
I take it back. You can leave the snow tires on another couple of weeks and see how things go.
But temperature-wise, it's probably a good idea, right? You can't run those tires too hot, right?
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that yet. That's where we're worried about when the tires get up in the 80 and 90 degree range.
Ah.
And what we're talking about is that the rubber compound on a snow tire, on a winter tire, is much softer than a summer tire. And so as the roads start to heat up, the rubber burns off very quickly. And so you do not want to run winter tires in the summertime if you drive very much. Now,
yeah,
there are some people who drive very, very little all year round, and they just leave their snow tires on all
Do
year.
They?
And it's fine. They don't drive on the highway, and they're just in-town cars, and they just leave them on. And that's just fine if you don't go anywhere.
But, yeah.
But if you put on a lot of miles, you need to take the winter tires off for sure.
You can call Dan at 651-989-9226. We've cleared out the line, so if you want to use the phone, 651-989-9226. Text, meanwhile, is 81807, 81807. You and I were talking earlier, Dan, when you walked in, about the warmer weather. We're rolling down our windows unlike the last few months. And maybe there's some noises that are heard. What do you suggest? Have you seen that at the shop?
We have seen a lot of that. And,
have
of course,
you?
The big one is clunks and rattles. The pothole season has been remarkable this year. And while much better, there's still plenty of them around, although they're doing a great job of getting after them. But that's, you fill a pothole or a series of potholes in a road, and the road is still pretty rough. And while it's not damaging wheels and tires like it was, the potholes are still there. But at any rate, yes, you roll down the windows and you start hearing squeaks and rattles and clunks that you have not previously heard because the windows are rolled up. Don't ignore those. My advice to people is whenever something changes, when you notice a change, it probably means something, and you probably should bring it in and have it checked. So if you're hearing a noise or a rattle or a squeak that you have not previously heard, you probably should get that in and get it checked, at least to know what it is, to know that it's safe to drive and that you'll be fine. Maybe it's something serious and you need to get it fixed.
Yeah, so do that.
Yeah.
If you hear anything strange that's changed.
If something changes in your car, you're the one that drives it all the time. And my technicians will say that. They'll be out test driving a car and they'll say something. You know, the customer will be complaining about something and they say, well, I don't really feel it or hear it. And my reply back to them is, well, go try again because they didn't bring it here for no reason.
Yeah,
they brought it here because something changed, and we need to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's the answer. Go figure it out and see what's changed.
Text number again is 81807 if you prefer that method, or call Dan this morning. Speaking of text, here's one that came in. 2009 Trailblazer have a harmonic hum, speaking of noises, when the car is in park. It goes away when I shift it into gear and do not notice anything when I'm driving. Hmm. So a harmonic hum, well, it's idling in park.
Yeah, the hum noises, or what seems to be a hum, are oftentimes like exhaust shield rattles, things like that. And there's a resonance to them, and they'll only make the noise when, you know, the RPMs and the load are at one particular thing. So it could be something like that. And then the other thing that came to mind is there a solenoid in the transmission that is trying to move and not able to move? So I probably would recommend that you get a professional ear to give that a listen to, even, especially if it's doing it all the time so we can hear it. Then, you know, you could drive by any shop and ask them to just walk out and take a listen and tell you if they think it's a concern or not. But I think I would get a professional ear would be a good idea.
Okay. Again, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Somebody, Dan, if I got to ask you this last week, see if I can rephrase it. A friend of mine here in the station was asking me about the difference between a single overhead cam and a double overhead cam. He thought he had read a long time ago that a double overhead cam is somehow better. And I don't know. First of all, what does that mean?
It can be better.
Really?
Yeah. Well, a dual overhead cam is usually on a higher performance type engine.
Okay.
But a single, it's just that. Does the cylinder have one cam or two cams? And the difference is how many valves is it opening and closing?
Uh-huh.
So if it's just opening two valves per cylinder, then, of course, an intake and an exhaust valve, then one cam is fine. If you have more valves, which people say, well, why would you do that? Why would you put more valves in? And it has to do with the way that the fuel and air mix inside the combustion chamber. And in that mixing, you know, performance happens. So if you get the air and fuel into the combustion chamber in the right place at the right time, that's how you're going to maximize your performance. And so more valves in a lot of people's mind from a performance standpoint is better.
Is better.
And it is. That's true. The bad news about that is more valves from a maintenance standpoint is bad.
That's the trade-off.
It's more to break.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like all cars. You know this from your own experience on a, you know, your simple old Honda that you used to drive. There was nothing to them, and there was very, very simple and nothing to fix. On your new cars, they're way more complicated.
It's true.
There's a lot more to keep track of and you know, good for my future.
I was going to say that's more for you and your techs to learn and practice, if that's the word.
It's, yeah. And, you know, that we laugh when we look back 20 years or 30 years on the cars that we used to work on and realize how incredibly simple they were. And, you know, now things are – and they're not hard. You just have to be trained. But,
yeah.
But they're certainly way more complicated.
Oh, I should say.
That's for sure.
Dan, we have to take a quick break. Jane, you're going to be first up here on the phone. There's a line open at 651-989-9226, and we have more text messages to answer to. That number, 81807. CCO time this Saturday, 7:21, 31 degrees. We'll be right back. And welcome back to our Car Care Show here on CCO. Denny Long with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where, Dan?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call as soon as this morning. We'll be there at 651-228-1316.
Very good. All right, as we promised, Dan, Jane in Bloomington is calling in with a question. Good morning, Jane. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I have a 98 Saturn, and my engine has started racing, and it won't kick down.
Well,
any idea what that would be?
Yeah, you'll probably have to bring that in and get some help, Gene, because usually when an engine start, a fuel-injected engine starts racing, it's because there's a vacuum leak. It's getting too much air, and the engine's response to that is to add more fuel. And, of course, you put those two together, you're going to have a racing engine.
Yeah.
So that's what I think your technician's going to look for is a vacuum leak. And most commonly, they're not a big deal, or quite often they're not a big deal. So I wouldn't be too worried about it. But I think you should probably take that in and have it checked.
All right, Jane. Good luck with that. Thank you. There's a line open if you want to call in your car care question for Dan, 651-989-9226. Or, if it's easier, we have some text messages, and that number, 81807. Texter says, is it really terrible to mix antifreeze types?
It is not really terrible. They're all ethylene glycol-based, and the difference in antifreeze or coolant, the same thing, is... Number one, color. If you've noticed, Denny, I have a rainbow of coolant on my engine. And they're for all different cars and models. And it's important for us as technicians to match the colors and get the right antifreeze in your car. But if you're in a pinch and your coolant is low, or if somebody happened to pour the wrong color coolant in your vehicle, it'll be just fine. You know, the difference is different manufacturers want different additive packages to added to the coolant, and it lubricates things. It protects the internal engine parts. So when you're flushing your cooling system, be sure that you install the correct coolant when you're done with that. Put it back the way the manufacturer built it. That's always best. But if in the process some other coolant gets added, it's just fine. Go ahead and...
And when somebody brings in their car to Lloyd's for service, whether it be a transmission, whatever it is, oil change, let's say, you guys have computers, and you bring in XYZ type of car, you can look that up and say, this is the kind, right, of transmission or coolant, how many quarts of oil, all that stuff.
Well, it's actually on everything we do on a car. It's now on every oil change. The first thing we do is look up the specification for the motor oil and the quantity of oil that it takes, and it's a really easy click on the computer for me to find all that information, but it's important. And, you know, the things have changed. It used to be every car on Earth had 5W30 conventional motor oil in it, and that's what you put back on every car. Well, going way back, it was... 1030 and 1040.
That's right.
You almost can't buy anymore because things have changed. And our oil salesman was just in telling us that it's time to start stocking 016. Some of the manufacturers have started using that, a synthetic oil, in their new engines. So
I thought 020 was something.
Well, it's thin. And that's one of the reasons that cars start so well in the wintertime. This last polar vortex or whatever, whatever it was called when it was so severely cold, we get very few calls for service calls anymore where somebody needs a jump start because their car won't start. We do not get much of that.
And you attribute that to the better oil.
Better oil, better batteries, better cars. Cars just start better. And back in the old days when I first started in this business, you know, you buy... 10 in the morning, you'd have to take the phone off the hook because you couldn't help any more people because you're full. But it's just not like that anymore. Cars are way better, that's for sure.
Dan, we need to take a break. Dan's going to be here till about 7:45 or so. So if you have a call, a question via phone, call it in, or we'll grab some more text messages. That number is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, we have callers. We have texters. Let's see if we can't put you back to work on a lightning round. John in Golden Valley is up next here on the phone. John, you're on CCO. John, are you there? There he is. Okay, go ahead, John.
I have a 02 Town and Country, and during the winter I go south, and I forgot to disconnect the battery. So I come back home, and it's dead. I have a battery charger, and I can put it on 6 amps or 2 amps, and I don't know which I should do. It's completely dead, and for how long to charge it?
You can put it on 2 amps for a couple of days. Would be just fine. That's just a little trickle charge, and that'll bring the battery back slowly and safely and not cause any damage to it. And a couple of days won't hurt it at all. It would be just fine. A lot of the little fancier battery chargers now will actually, you can leave them on most of the time. They'll shut off by themselves. So the one thing that you don't want to do is charge a battery too fast. That's hard on them. They get hot, and they can boil over, and that's not good for a battery. So in an emergency, and you know, sometimes that happens where you have to quickly charge a battery so that you can get going, that's fine. But a slow trickle charge is the best way to charge a battery.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, John. Let's go get some text messages before you leave us today. But a 2000 LeSabre, the horn fuse keeps popping.
Well, it's probably a fuse, or I mean, probably a horn. The horns on most cars are out in front of the bumper near the radiator, and of course they're out there so that the noise from the horn comes out, and so people can hear
it
when they're in your way, and they're exposed to the elements, and that's hard on them. So I assume that the fuse only blows when you're using the horn. If it's blowing when you're not using the horn, then there's a bigger problem. Then you've got a wire somewhere that's touching that's causing the fuse to blow. But if it's just when you're using the horn that the fuse blows, you probably need to replace the horn or horns. Most cars also have at least two horns, a high pitch and a low pitch.
Harmonics.
Yeah.
So. All right. Very good. Thanks for the text. My dad, here's another battery text. My dad has a 1995 Lincoln that he parks for the winter. The battery was dead this spring. Does that always indicate it just needs a new battery?
Well, not always. And one of the guys at Lloyd's this week, or not this week, last winter, he had his car stolen, and it was in the impound lot for several months. And, of course, we got it back, and the battery was dead. And first thing he was going to do is put a new battery in it. And I said, you know, you should probably charge that first. And the battery's not very old. And it's true that a battery going dead and having the battery freeze can wreck the battery. So that is true. So there is a good chance that the battery won't survive, but I wouldn't give up on it right away. I would charge the battery and charge it well, like I said, on a slow trickle charge for a couple of days, and then have the battery tested and see how it comes out. But if the battery has failed and will not recover after charging it, we'll know that.
Okay.
So it can for sure be tested. You don't have to worry, you don't have to wonder.
You recommended that to me. I mean, Tony's vehicle with a newer battery was outside in severe cold and hadn't had the chance to charge up.
Right.
Got a trickle charger on, and it's fine.
You know, the problem with Tony's car is it doesn't go anywhere.
You know, right. Drives it to the bus station.
I know, but you start the vehicle, and it runs for just a couple of minutes. And the fact that, you know, starting a vehicle wears a battery down, and then running the headlights and the heater motor and all that, so the battery never gets a chance to fully recharge. And after several days or months or weeks of that diminished recharge, eventually the battery goes dead and you think you need a new battery. And quite honestly, you don't. You just need to charge it up. And really what you need to do is take it out on the highway once in a while and put some miles on it. And that'll keep it charged up.
Like you've said before, cars need to be driven.
They need to be driven. That's what they're built for.
I think we have time for another text. Let's see where we are here. Where do we leave off? A 2005 Toyota Matrix starts and runs fine. But after a few miles at highway speed and then driving stop and go, I notice a burning smell and then grinding, clanking noises from the front left side when slowly accelerating from stoplights. Any ideas?
I don't know what that is, but that's not good.
No, there's like you said, started the show with any strange noises.
Yeah, no, that you need to get that in and have a professional give a listen to that. My first thought is that you have a bearing failing and maybe a belt burning, but at any rate you need a professional to hear that and put their ear to it and tell you if it's safe to drive that way. I have an idea that it is not safe to drive that way. You probably need to get that in quickly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Texter says, I have a 2003 Toyota Camry LE with 162,000 miles. When you replace the rear stabilizer bushings, do you normally replace the brackets as well? Also, what are the signs that the rear stabilizer links also need to be replaced?
Well, stabilizer links are a ball and socket type thing, and if they're loose, you can feel them, and you'll feel the looseness in them. And to answer your question regarding the bushings, no, we do not normally replace the straps that mount them, though there are times when we do replace them if they're rusty or they don't come off properly, then we'll have to replace them. But as part of normal maintenance, no, you would not replace the mounting strap.
Well, let's try another one here before you take your leave. A 2012 Lincoln MKX, when braking, makes a small whining-type noise. Goes away when taking the foot off the brake. No service lights on at all. Any ideas?
Well, it might be the warning tab. If the brake pads are getting worn down, there's a little metal tab that rubs on the brake rotor to make you aware. Well, just what I said, a warning tab to warn you that the friction material's wearing. And if that's the case, then you need to replace them. So my recommendation would be take it in and have the brakes inspected, and you'll get an answer to your question.
Very good. Dan, we have to see you next week.
Sounds good.
I'll see you Tuesday.
I'll see you Tuesday.
All right, yeah. Good deal. And how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give Nick a call this morning, 651-228-1316.
Very good, Dan. I'll see you in a few days.
Sounds good.
And, of course, back with more car care next Saturday.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.